Okay, if you've got your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 11 this morning. Acts chapter 11. Going to pick up where we left off last week in chapter 10. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you this morning again. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful place you've given to us. And Lord, for those that are here this morning, Lord, in a desire to worship together. Lord, thank you for bringing our church family here together, and Lord, that we might have time to fellowship and be encouraged through your word. Lord, I pray this morning as we do open your word that you would open our hearts, Lord, that you would open our minds, and Lord, I pray most of all that you would speak your words through me and that we as your church today could receive the message that you have for us, Lord, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Acts chapter 11, we've been studying through the book of Acts here, and chapter 11, verse number 1, we pick up, it says, "The apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with them, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them." And we see saying there as we go on. We're going to stop there for just a minute. It tells us kind of a reminder of where we left off, right? We think about our opportunity as we read together and worked through chapter 10. We saw the movement of God in the early church. We saw very specifically, as we kind of ended up with last week, that there's a big difference, right? For Peter specifically, God had revealed to him one of the most important messages that we could understand even today in the life of the church. That God truly is no respecter of persons. And that's what Peter helped not only these that were, as we read about last week, that were gathered together in this place, but he helped us to understand that today as the church. As we think about it in the context of the verses here, it talks about Jews and Gentiles. We rehearsed and remember last week, we talked about that if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So that means today, if you're not a Jew, then that's who we are. We're considered those Gentile people, which means that God had promised something even for us today. And Peter helped in along with this thought for the church, the early church in the book of Acts, to remember that there was something that God had done in the life of these individuals as well as the Jews. And it's important for us today because we know that we're not all Jews, so we need to know the gospel. We need an opportunity to have the same relationship that the Jews had with our Heavenly Father. And through that relationship with Jesus Christ is where we come this morning. And it tells us here in verse 1 as we started out that the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard what? They heard the testimony. We talked about this last week. Our testimony is our relationship with Jesus Christ and what God has done for us. You think about it this morning. Do you have a testimony? Do you have in your life a time when you know that there was a need for something different in your life? And that difference was Jesus Christ. If you've ever come to a saving relationship with Jesus, then you have that testimony. You have that opportunity that says, there was a difference in my life. There was a time and a change when I recognized that I was a sinner and that I needed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's your testimony. Whatever that might look like. For some of us, that's very different. For some of us, there's an experience, as we've read about in the book of Acts, with Saul and a very drastic change in our life and a movement of God where he literally puts us on our face before God. And there's other times in our life when it might not be such a drastic change in our life, but an obvious difference in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we pick up in this chapter here this morning, it tells us that the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea, that references the church, right? Whenever time we see in Scripture that word brethren, it refers to anyone as we look at today as a Christian. And we might term that word Christian. A brother or a sister in Christ is somebody that has come to saving relationship with Jesus. So we see it here that these were gathered together and they heard that other Gentiles had come to know Jesus Christ, that they had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up, it says, to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Now we see one of the very same things that often happens today in the life of the church, even as we think about it this morning. There's this thought that whether we want to get serious about it or not, there's times when we might look at other individuals and say they don't really deserve Jesus Christ. They don't really deserve the same relationship that I have with Jesus. And we say in the context of the church today that we would never talk like that. And we might not verbally say it, but in our hearts, in our minds, we might look to others and we might say, you know, they don't really deserve to be a part of the church. They don't deserve to be a part of the family of God. And most of the time in our society today, that revolves around somebody's life. The pattern of their life, whether they've been a good person in the standards of human nature, whether they've kind of gone in a direction that is not normally acceptable maybe to the society. We might often think about that in the standards of the world, somebody that's moved in a different direction than we're comfortable with. But reality is, and we talked about this in Sunday school this morning together, that sin is sin, right? And we study the Word of God, our sin is the same sin to God as any other person's sin. Sin is sin, and God sent His Son to die on the cross for all sin. And the message that is proclaimed here in this verse, as we read it, it tells us that Peter came up to Jerusalem, and we know this was kind of the center of the church up until that point. And Peter comes to the church at Jerusalem, and they're struggling. It tells us there in that verse that they were contending, they were arguing, they were frustrated with Peter, because very specifically what we read last time, that he went, and it says here, to the place of the uncircumcised. Now we know that's a very distinct purpose that we see in Scripture, that God had commanded for the Jews to live in this pattern of circumcision. It was something that was an external thing, but it was a sign of an internal relationship with God. And it was very personal to the Jews, and it was very personal to them to think about anyone that was uncircumcised was considered unclean, was somebody that to be avoided. And that puts it into the context for us this morning. We might think about unclean people, and you can run that through your mind and your heart this morning, and we really come to this place of understanding what really is that picture of unclean. And we might put individuals today in that same category in our lives, in our hearts, because they don't fit our mold, because they don't fit our pattern, they don't fit our lifestyle. They're not people we would associate with. This was the case for Peter, as we read last time together, that Peter recognized these things from the movement of God, and he rehearses this again. They contended with him, and they were very upset. In verse 3 it says, "Thou wentest in to men that were uncircumcised, and you ate with him." Not only did you go into their house and into this place, but you ate with him, which means fellowship. That's the very distinct thing that we recognize from that verse. When we talk about eating, it's not just filling our belly and sitting in somebody's house and eating, but it was a true picture of fellowship. And today, when we think about it in relationship to the church, we recognize, what does that really mean for the church? And for us today, if we've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we have the same challenge that Peter had. His calling from the Lord was to go to a people that did not know who Jesus is. To go into a world, into a situation, and very specifically, as we read last time, into a home and into a place where there were people that had no idea what it meant to know Jesus Christ. And into a home that was literally considered unclean or unworthy to know Jesus Christ. And that we get very specific about Scripture today. We understand that God's call for the church today, the church here in Fowler, Colorado. Not this building, not this place, but the church, a body of believers, is called to the very same thing. That we would recognize that God's call for us today is to go into a world where there are people that don't know Jesus. That don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And it really, truly came to a place of concern for the Jews, for those at Jerusalem. They looked at Peter, they said, you've gone into this place, you've gone to eat with him, you've had fellowship with him. And it tells us in verse 4, one of the very key parts of this account as we read it, that Peter rehearsed what happened. He began to talk to those that were at Jerusalem in the church, and he comes into the church and he says, well, I was there and I was eating and fellowshipping with the unsaved people, with these Gentiles, and I want to tell you why I was there. Let me share with you why I was in that place. And that's what it says. He rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and he expounded it by order unto them, saying these very specific things. If you were with us last week, or you've listened to the message, you know that this is what we studied last week. So Peter rehearses the very same thing that we discussed. He says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou call thou common. And this was done, he says, three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and saith unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now we rapidly run through those verses as a reminder of what we've already read. Peter gives an account of what had happened, and we talked about this last time. This is a picture of Peter's testimony. And we recognize, what did God do in the life of Peter? In this particular instance, God moved in the heart of Peter, and he changed something that had been ingrained into his life. Something that had been a part of his life since the very beginning. Something that he'd been trained in. And what we see in the context of these verses, the same we read in chapter 10, that this was teaching that Peter had been taught all of his life. And that he lived in. And for us today in the life of the church, I want you to consider just for a moment that sometimes God moves in our life and reveals things in our heart and in our life that maybe are contrary to what we've always been taught. Contrary to what has always been there. Now we know very specifically in this instance that God has revealed in Scripture that His love and His forgiveness of sins has always been and will always be for every person on this earth. Now we like to draw lines. We like to say, well, this person could accept Christ and we like that person and we want him to be in our church. And you might think about them being in the family of God and you might be comfortable with them. But we might walk down the street and we might run into somebody that we're not so comfortable with. Or we might go to work on Monday morning and see that person that we deal with every day and think, man, I don't really want them to be around, right? I don't like them. Maybe it's in our family. Maybe it's personal. And those kinds of things, the true picture that Peter recognizes is something that he had never really truly grown up with. And that was the fact that it was okay for others to come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter rehearsed here in this verse. As he reminded the church at Jerusalem, he says, God revealed this to me. Why did he reveal it to Peter? So that he could be a witness, that he could be a light, that he could be a direction for others to know Jesus Christ. And it's the exact same reason that God has revealed it to the church today. If you didn't know, this revealing picture is not something that we don't read about in Scripture. It's over and over recounted to us in Scripture that God works in this way. And whether you realize it or not, God works in the very same way today. God's desire is for the lost world that we live in to know Jesus Christ. To know what it means to have fellowship with Him. And as we see it in these verses, as Peter rehearses this, he reminds us that it was truly the Word of Christ directly given to him. And we see this picture in these verses. In verse 16, we talk about he remembers again something else that he had been told. Something else that he had learned, that John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's a reminder of the movement of the Spirit of God in our lives after we receive Jesus. What Peter now reminds these individuals at the church was that God did these things. That it was not of man, it was not of his words, not of his actions, but of the movement of God. He says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, what was I that I could withstand God? What he proclaims to the church at Jerusalem is, how is it for me that I could stand in the way of God? How is it that I could stand in the midst of the movement of God in our life? And I wonder this morning if we could come to this thought in our life in the church, that our desire would be to see God work in our hearts, to see God work in our lives, and not only in our life, but in the life of the people that are around us. The message that Peter gave to the church of Jerusalem is, how can I stand in the way of God? How can I stand in the midst of these things? And I want you to consider for just a minute how often it might be a part of the life of the church today that we are in the way. When God is trying to work. When we put our pride, when we put our selfishness, when we put our own desires before the things of God, when we look around and we say, I'm not comfortable with this, I'm not comfortable with that, I don't like the way things are going. If you haven't realized it, it is something that reoccurs in church life every single day. It occurs very frequently in churches all over this world because we all have our own opinions, right? They're like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. You realize that? We all got one. And sometimes they're in line, and sometimes we agree on things, and sometimes we don't, right? But the important standard for the church is that we agree with what God's Word says. And what Peter brings to mention in the life of the church in these verses is that we ought to look to the truth of God. In the life of the church today, as we live right here in the area we live in the church that God has given to us in this place, we ought to look to the truth of the Word of God and discern, what is God calling us to do? Where is He calling us? Where is He leading us? And when He's leading us, that we not stand in the way of that. And for Peter, what he meant by standing in the way was that he came to this thought, as we read together last time, that his struggle was, as God, I've never eaten any of these unclean things. I've never done any of these things in my life, because from his own perspective, he was living as spiritually as he could live. And it's the same pattern that we see today in the church, that many of believers are living spiritually according to their own standards. But our standards are not God's. Our ways are not the pattern of God. Our life, as we feel like we're doing the best that we could possibly do, does not measure up to the truth of God. If we really look at the Word of God, you can live as spiritually as you want. And for Peter, he did. He followed all the laws. He followed all the rules. He followed everything he had been taught all of his life. And maybe for some of us today, we're following everything we've ever been taught. Do you ever come to a place in your life when you realize that maybe some of the things you've always been taught are not right? That's hard to do, right? It's hard to come to a place in your life where you recognize, man, maybe mom, maybe dad, maybe grandma, maybe grandpa, maybe my church family, all of my life has taught me these are the things. And we come to a realization that God's Word teaches something different. That's where Peter was. And that's where he was standing in the midst of this church at Jerusalem. He says, God has moved. And where is it that I can stand in the midst of those things? How could I withstand God? How could I be in the way of God moving? And I wonder this morning if we would be okay in our heart and our life today to consider that God is working in the hearts and the lives of people in this church and people in this community and the community surrounding us, and that we would just be willing to get into the place where God has called us to go. To take a step of obedience, whatever that might look like, even if it's contrary to what we've always been taught. If it's in line with the Word of God, it's right. And it's true. And it's what we're supposed to look to as the church. Discern the Word of God. Whether we recognize it or not, it's why God has called us as a church to study the Bible. It's not one of those things that we just pick up when we come to church, right? It's not one of those things that you throw in the back seat of the car so that it's there next Sunday when you come, right? It's not one of those things that's on the shelf that you look at, or one of those great big family Bibles that might be sitting at your home on a coffee table so that when somebody comes in, they feel good because it's a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling that you got a family Bible there, right? All of those things. And we're in this custom now today that we say, well, we always carry it. Do you carry the Word of God with you? Do you know the Word of God? Is it important to you to make it a priority in your life? To know? We've discussed this how many a times. How many of you this morning, honestly, how many of you leave without one of these things? How many of you go anywhere without a cell phone? And if you go somewhere without your cell phone, do you turn around and go back and get it? Even if you're 10 miles from home? Because you feel like I've got to have it? It's that leash. It's something we hold on to, right? Because we're lost without it. What if that was the pattern of the church today, that we did not leave the home without the Word of God? That we did not leave home without trusting in the direction that God has given us? And it's not that we have to physically carry this Bible around, but if we hide it in our heart, and that's what the Word of God says, that we would study the Word of God. That it would be so much a priority in our life, that it would be a pattern in our life, that before we did anything else, any day of the week, we got up and we studied the Word of God and what it is that He's called for us to do. We studied the direction. It's not that hard. You can take just a few minutes. You don't believe me? Back there on that back table, there's a little bitty devotional. It's called the Daily Bread. It's called that for a reason. It's there for you guys to use. It's not just there to fill up that table back there, because I promise you, I hate clutter. I'd throw it all away if it was up to me. I don't like clutter. But it's there for a purpose, so that we can take time every day. I promise you, if you haven't looked at one of them, take one home. A couple of minutes. 3 to 4, maybe 5 verses at all. And then what you'll find, if you study that, then you got to read a little bit more, right? If any of you have used that before, you'll find out that you read 3 or 4 verses and you got to read the whole rest of the chapter to kind of make it all work together. And all of a sudden you found out for 2 minutes, now it's 10 minutes, now it's 15 minutes. And now because you spent 15 minutes with the Lord in the midst of your day, your whole life has changed. It's the Word of God. And it's the truth of God. And it's what Peter reminds us here as we think about these things. If we stand according to the truth and the Word of God, then we're going to move in a direction we've never moved before. They're your life decisions that you're in right now. Where you go, what you're doing, how does life look for each and every one of you? You're making decisions every single day. Have you ever once considered the fact that God wants to be a part of those decisions? That God wants to be a part of your life every single day? And that He has direction for us if we'll just listen? He's given us those directions in His Word, and that's what the Word of God is for. It's an instruction book for us. It's one of those things we'd always wish as parents, right? Did you ever wish your kid was born with an instruction book? When they come out, there's a guideline there in a book. You can just say, hey, there it is. God gave it to us. It's right here. It's right here. It's evidence for us. God's given it to us, but we don't use it, right? Because we've got a plan. We've got an idea. This is what's good. This is what's right for me. It fits my life. I want to do what I want to do because the world we live in says, be who you are and do what you want. God's Word says, be who I want you to be. Recognize your need for a Savior and then live in obedience to that. And if we learn to live according to the Word of God, life will be different. And all the things of life will fall into place. He says in verse 18, when the church that was gathered there heard this message from Peter that he rehearsed that God moved in his life. And he said, I was here and I didn't agree with this, but I went there anyways because it's important what we read up above in the verses there that there was no hesitation, right? That there was no concern without hesitation, Peter went. Even though he knew that it was strange for him, he went in obedience. And when he got there, people got saved. The Gentiles heard the Word of God. When they heard these things in verse 18, they held their peace and they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. What happened because of the testimony of this man, Peter? He came back to the church and he said, hey, guess what happened? And these are the people, and now they have a relationship with the Lord. And it tells us that the church held their peace. That's uncommon, isn't it? For us to just be quiet and listen. To listen to the things of God. They held their peace and then they rejoiced in this fact. That God has brought the message to the Gentiles as well. Verse number 19 of the same chapter says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. This is again a reminder of what we've already read in the book of Acts. When we see the death of Stephen and we see this struggle in the church, and this is how God's Word spread all over the world as we see it in Scripture here. It's how it began to spread because the church was persecuted, right? Remember that? When we see the persecution of the church, Christians said, man, we don't want to be here. There's persecution. There's struggle. There's difficulty. We're going to run. But because they ran, because they were spread out, they began to preach the Word of God. And it says very specifically here again, they were preaching only to the Jews. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now we move on to Antioch, and we see here these Grecians, these are Greeks. They were speaking this Greek. And he tells us here that they, again, another people group that is the Word is being spoken to. Preaching what? The Lord Jesus. They didn't preach anything else. And I want you to consider for this morning that the most important message the church could preach today is Jesus Christ. It's not popularity. It's not that we have all the answers. It's not that our church is better than this church or that church, or that this is the plan or the purpose that God has for my life because I think it's what's good for me. It's we preach Jesus Christ. We preach the need for salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's what we see in these verses. They preached the Lord Jesus, and in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Look what it says. And great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Because they preached Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand this morning, one of the things that we often see in church life is this picture of why is the church not growing? Why is the church not doing what it's supposed to do? And just for a minute that we might consider the fact that church, whatever it might look like today, is not doing what God has called us to do. That the church has quit preaching Jesus Christ. That we've quit preaching that it's about a salvation experience through Jesus Christ. That we've quit preaching the message that we've discussed throughout the book of Acts that you all understand this morning is the most important thing that you could ever understand. That there's a God that loves you. And according to His Word, there's an issue. And that issue is sin. That issue is sin, and we all have it, whether we want to admit it or not. There was an issue. We were born into sin. We're born into this human nature. That's just who we are. It goes all the way back to Genesis. If you don't believe me, go home and study that family Bible you got sitting on the coffee table this afternoon. You'll see. Go back to Genesis. There was a problem. There was a man and a woman, and as soon as that happened, there was sin, right? And if it wasn't them, it would have been one of us. Sin is part of our human nature. There was a problem. And there was a need to fix that problem. And the only fix for that problem is salvation through Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus to take care of the sin of this world. That's the message the church needs to present. That's the message that we're striving to in the heart and the life of this church. And should be the goal and the desire of every one of us if we have salvation through Jesus Christ and we believe in our heart. And that's what He says, a great number believe and they turn to the Lord. Why? Because they preach the Word of God. Because Peter went about, because others went about and they shared. Hey, there's a need for a Savior. And what does it look like? God has made it so simple, right? There's a problem, that sin problem. And there's a solution for the problem. Man, isn't that a great thing? You ever have a problem and you can't find the solution? God's already given it to us. There's a solution for the sin problem in this world we live in. There's a solution for all of those things on our prayer list. There's a solution for the problems in our state. There's a solution for the problem in this country. There's a solution for all of the problems around the world. And whether you believe it or not, or you understand it this morning, the simplest solution that God has ever provided for any and every person is that they would know Jesus Christ. Can you imagine today if all of the problems that you could come up with in your head today were solved because somebody just came to know Jesus Christ? That's what it means to believe in Christ. It's what it means to follow in relationship with the Lord. And that's what it says in this verse. The hand of the Lord was with them because they were preaching. Because they were preaching Jesus Christ. Not our own opinions, not my will, not your will, not our plans. We've got a design. We've got these thoughts in the life of the church today. If we do this and if we do that and if we have the right programs and if we invite everybody to come and we do all the great things that we could possibly imagine in the church, that the church is going to grow and things are going to happen. And I promise you, people might come to church because of a program. They might come to church because you've invited them to come. But are they going to come to know Jesus just by showing up? Are they going to come to know Jesus because we have a program on the calendar that says you ought to come? Are they going to come to know Jesus because you tell them what it means to know Him yourself? Because you know that there's an important difference in your life, and that difference is Christ. That's what we see happening in the early church. In this verse, of many a chapters we've already read up until this point, we see over and over and over, it says great numbers came to know Christ. Great numbers of people believed, and it says they turned to the Lord. What does that mean? That's that picture of repentance. That's the next part of salvation, that we recognize our sin problem, we recognize there's a solution for it, and that solution is confessing our sin before God. And the next part of that salvation experience is that we repent, which means we turn from the way we've been going and we go in a different direction. Do we know we've done that today? Do you know in your heart that there's a sin problem? Do you know that you've confessed that sin and you're moving in a direction that's according to the will of God? When we get to that place, great numbers of people believe. Verse 22, the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now we begin to see what we would reference today, this picture of mission work. Same thing we discussed this morning when we talk about why do we take up an offering this morning. There's a need for others to know Christ. The church of Jerusalem began to hear, there's all these people coming to know Jesus Christ. Man, wouldn't that be a great problem to have? That we'd have to start looking around the church and we wouldn't have enough people in the church to help others come to know Christ, so we'd have to call on some others to help. We'd have to reach out, and that's what they did here. The church in Jerusalem heard, and they sent forth Barnabas, it says, that he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, look what it says, he was glad and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. When he heard the movement of God, Barnabas comes. The church at Jerusalem says, hey, Barnabas, there's so many people coming to know Jesus up there. You need to get up there. You need to go to that place. What if there was such a movement of God in the community of Fowler that the people around started noticing and said, man, we better get to Fowler. There's stuff going on there. God's working in that place. We need to go. We need to see if we can help. And it's much more than building a building big enough to hold all them people. It's getting serious about knowing that Jesus is working in the hearts of people. And it says that Barnabas came in that verse there, and he encouraged them. He exhorted them. That's what that word means. That he encouraged them in their relationship with the Lord. One of the very key things that's important in church life today, to encourage each other. To build each other up. Man, that's what makes us the church that God's called us to be. That we look at each other, we encourage each other. When somebody comes to saving grace and relationship with Jesus Christ, we continue to encourage them in that walk. Continue to help them. Continue to teach them and help them to understand the Word of God. That's a movement of the church. If you haven't recognized it, God's given us a pattern there for the church. That's called discipleship. That we study the Word of God and we grow in our relationship. We're not just Christians that said we were saved one day and that's good enough. But we have a desire to grow in our relationship. That's what the church should look like today. That's the pattern that God has given us in His Word. He says that all, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. With purpose of heart. What does that mean to you this morning? Do you have purpose in your heart? That we say today that the most important thing that we could do in this earth is to live in the pattern that God's given to us. Most oftentimes, I think in the world we live in today, we've got purpose for a lot of things. We've got purpose for our job. We've got a goal in mind for our relationships. Husbands, wives, children, we've got babies along the way. We've got a goal. Everybody in our world today's got a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, 15-year plan. Maybe you got a 50-year plan, right? Everybody's working. What do we want to do? Right? You really think about it today. What's the plan for the world? The world's plan is we want to have a job, right? We want to have a good job. We want to raise a good family. We want to do what, and most of the time it involves being better than the last generation. So we've got a plan of, hey, let me be better. I want to do better than mom and dad. I want to do better than grandma and grandpa. I want to have a good life. I want to grow. I want my family to grow. I want my children to grow up and be educated and have all the things that are necessary. We always want to grow better. We always want to do better. Now, what if the purpose of every believer today was to truly come to purpose of heart in the Lord and say, most important thing I could ever do is help my family know who Jesus is. Most important purpose we have today in the church is that we help the world around us to see that all of this stuff that we're working so hard for today is going to pass away someday. You don't believe me? Keep reading Scripture. It's in God's Word. Someday, all of this that we're working for every single day, those hours upon hours that you get up and go to work every day, it's all going to go away. And what's going to matter is whether or not you knew Jesus or not. Whether or not when the end of life comes for you and you're laying in that deathbed or some tragic situation happens and your life on this earth is over, and are you going to be with Jesus in paradise or are you going to be suffering in hell? Because that's the only two options if you read the truth of God. Two places. Two options for every person in this world. Nothing else. It's that simple. God's made it that simple. What if the purpose of the church look like what it looked like in the early church here? Barnabas came along and he challenged them, have purpose of heart. What? That they would cleave to the Lord. That they would hold on to that. What's your purpose this morning? What are we living for? For the next paycheck? For the next position? For the next status in the world? For the next step for us? Or are we living for what God might be working and doing in our lives? For He, in verse 24, it says, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Why was it? Not because of who he was, but because of Jesus Christ. Because of the message that God had called him to proclaim. Barnabas comes along and he continues to encourage the church. And it says very key things. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. We recognize today as one of the very same characteristics that we see in Scripture that was outlined in the book of Acts to start with when we first started our study together. That there were people that were full of faith. They were full of the Holy Ghost and their faith was evidenced. That's the call that God's given to the church today. Are we people of purpose? Are we people of faith? Are we people that are filled with the Holy Ghost? And if we are, would life look different for us this morning then? If we can look at our life and you can stand in front of the mirror today and look at your life and recognize that really the biggest thing you can tell is that you look just like everybody else in the world, right? Your life looks good. It looks comfortable. It looks like the pattern that the world says is normal. I want to challenge your heart this morning that God's called the church to look a little more abnormal. I want to get very serious about it. God's Word has a word for it. It's called peculiar. God's Word challenges the church to be a peculiar people. That means we're strange. It means we stand out. We don't fit the mold that the world says is normal. And that's okay. Because we fit the pattern of what God's called for us to look like. according to his word. This man, Barnabas, fit that to a T. It says, because of his faithfulness to the Lord and his prayer and his exhortation, more people were added to the church. Then it says, departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. Why? Because the church was growing. And this man, Saul, again, is brought back to our attention. He says, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Did you know that word Christian was in the Bible? Now here's the challenge for you. Do you know what that word means? Because I want to challenge your heart this morning. If you ask anybody in this world, you're going to get a definition from one end to the other. For a lot of people in our society, in our world that we live in today, you're a Christian if you're an American. I'm going to promise to tell you that that's not what God's Word says. Because you live in this country doesn't make you a Christian. Because your grandma and grandpa were a Christian, supposedly in your mind and your heart, because grandma and grandpa went to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Because your mom and dad raised you up in the church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Because you're sitting in church pews on Sunday mornings doesn't mean you're a Christian. What does it mean? If you're curious, go home and get out your cell phone. Use your favorite little search engine there. Look it up. You'll find out very quickly. There's a great many people in this world today. The dictionary has a definition of Christians, and I want you to think about it this morning. The definition in the dictionary, it's wrong. Believe it or not. Right? You ever found that? You ever looked a word up in the dictionary and found out it's wrong? Take your dictionary out, look up the word Christian, and then come to the scripture and look what it says. Because that idea of a Christian is very skewed in our world today. A Christian, very simply, we break the word down, it means Christ in us. A Christian today is somebody that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what church you go to, doesn't matter what church your name might be on the books and say that you belong to this church or that church, it doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter what kind of status you have, it doesn't matter any of those things. What matters is that you've come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you've done that, then you're a Christian. And that breaks down a lot of barriers that the world likes to say are there. Because whether you realize it or not, doesn't matter what label you're on, doesn't matter what your family came through, what church you've been involved in, or what church anybody else in your family's been involved in, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you've made a commitment to Him, you're a Christian. And it has nothing to do with this world's directions. It has nothing to do with what the world says as a Christian. But we like to feel that way. We like to feel comfortable. Well, I'm a Christian. Why are you a Christian? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I'm going to challenge your heart this morning. You're not a Christian. If Christ is not living in your life, all of that other stuff is useless. But there's an important definition that we see in the book of Acts here. They were first called Christians there. Why? Because the evidence of Jesus was in their life. Because the proof that they were following in relationship with Jesus Christ was there. Those are the words of God. Those aren't my words. I promise you, if you go and read the dictionary, you're going to find otherwise. Because if you find out really quickly that Wikipedia classifies Christians as a whole bunch of stuff. You're going to have to go home and look it up now. Think about it. Because there's a lot of beliefs that fall under the term Christian today. Christian means you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. This is the first place we see that they were called at in the church at Antioch. In verse number 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. There's just a little quick excerpt for you at the end of the chapter. It's something to think about, the movement of the church. What happened? In the midst of this situation in the life of the church, it says there was prophets and they came to the church and they said, very specifically, hey, we're going to come to a place where there's no food, there's no supply of anything. This is coming very quickly, and it says, as we see it there, this happened, and it says it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe the Word of God, go study the history books. This is history. This is literal history. This isn't just Bible story. This happened. And it was prophesied in the church that it was going to happen. And for what reason? So that the church could be the church. So that Christians could be the Christians that God has called us to be. And if you don't Think about it today. There's a great many things written in this word that God has prophesied that are coming true in the day we live in today. And it's a great opportunity for the church to be the church. And that's what we see in that verse. The church, they came together. Look what it says. The disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren. When there was no food, when there was no supply, no nothing, what did the church do? They got together and they said, there's a need over there. Man, what would it be like today if that was the purpose of the church? And we got together and we looked at the needs around us and we said, man, the most important thing we could do is help people to see Christ. And we're going to do that through providing food. We're going to do that through providing clothes. We're going to do that by providing, most importantly, their understanding of a need of a Savior. That's what the church should look like today. It's not about our programs. It's not about our plans. It's not about how many times we can schedule services. You guys have all been here. You read the announcements this morning. We got times to be together all throughout the week. Maybe you're here. Maybe you can't be here. It's not about those times. We're here in those times to be the church that God has called us to be. To be the servants that God has called us to be. And they determined, it says, to send relief. What if that was the goal of the church today? We determine in our heart this morning to send relief to a lost world that needs to know Jesus. Give them an opportunity to fellowship with the church. He says, which also they did. Not only did they... Here's the important part of the church life today. They determined in their life there was a problem, and then they did something about it. Isn't that kind of a problem we have in the world today? We sit around, brainstorm all the issues and all the thoughts, and we get together. That sounds like politics, doesn't it? We got a never-ending supply of figuring out all the problems, and then we sit back and wonder, I wonder how it's going to get done. Why? Same problems in the church. Sit back and recognize there's a lot of people in our community right now that have no idea who Jesus is. How do we fix that? We start telling them. We start being the church that God's called us to be. You start being the Christian that God has called you to be. Be the witness that God has called you to be. Make His Word important in your life. Make it the priority of your life. And pursue the things of God. That's the opportunity we have this morning. I challenge your heart this morning. If God's calling you to do something, would you do it? Every Sunday, we have an opportunity. It's called an invitation. We're going to sing here in just a minute. Piano player's going to come. We're going to have a song. It's not just to close the service. It's an opportunity for you to respond to God's Word. To do what God's called you to do. Has God called in your heart to do something? Have you been burdened with some things in your life recently? Just want to bring a thought to your mind that you wouldn't be here this morning if God hadn't called you here. I believe that 100%. There's lots of excuses and lots of reasons and lots of places you could be besides here this morning. You're not here by accident. God has called you to do something. Would you do it? Would you be faithful? Would you start a life of purpose this morning? Or repurpose your life to the call that God's given to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word, and I thank You for Your truth. Lord, I thank You that we can study these words together, and Lord, know that it's not words of man, but it's Your words and Your truth. And Lord, we see the evidence in the book of Acts in the early church as we see it and we know it. Lord, that Your Spirit moved and worked and that people saw Your hand at work. And Lord, because the church was faithful in these examples that we see here for this man named Barnabas and this man named Saul and for Peter and for the apostles that we read about, Lord, that were faithful to do what You've asked them to do. Lord, the church grew. And Lord, I pray this morning in this room, in this place, Lord, if there's somebody here that has never accepted You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that You'd help them not to leave this place today until they've done that. And Lord, for those of us that can say that we've done that, and I pray, Lord, that You would just guide us. Lord, that You'd put it in our heart and our mind this morning that there's more than just simply existing as a so-called Christian. But that You've called us to purpose and accountability and obedience to You. And I pray, Lord, that if there's other decisions that need to be made this morning, that You'd help us to do it. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to follow You in believer's baptism, I pray You'd help them to come. Share that. Lord, that I could pray with them, and Lord, we could just get a time set aside where they might take that next step of obedience. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord, that You're calling to be a part of this church more permanently. They've never really committed their life and their heart to this church, and they want to be a part of what You've called them to do. I pray You'd help them to come. Lord, maybe we just need to come up here and get on our knees at this front altar and confess some sin and be right with You today. Whatever Your will is in this place, I pray that You'd help us to be the Christians that we call ourselves and be obedient to You today. We're going to give You the praise, and we ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use a hymnal, it's 320.
There's life
Pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you for this time to be together in your presence in this place and in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you guide us from this place, that we would be a witness and a light for you, and Lord, that our focus would be upon your direction. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen.